of stand-up and improv. And today we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts. So just to pun off that, I thought that was hilarious. But we've talked, the last couple of weeks we've been in 1 Corinthians, okay? So a couple of weeks ago we were in 10, we talked about idols. The last couple of weeks after that we've been in 11, and we talked about community, and we talked about just different issues in the church and all these things. And then today we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12, which is talking about spiritual gifts, okay? So kind of like we talked about last week, there's this community in the church that Paul's writing about in 1 Corinthians, okay? And so he's coming to this community, and he's telling them all these things that are happening because he believes that they're loving Jesus and they're trying to follow Jesus, but then they're falling out at all these things that are around them in the world, okay? And it happens today the same way. So Paul's words are infinitely important, and so we want to look at what he's saying to us in 1 Corinthians 12. So before we do that, I'm going to say a quick prayer, and we're going to jump into God's word. God, I thank you so much for just the fact that your words were used and you wrote these words through Paul, and that even thousands of years later, we can just completely relate to what you were saying because your word is, was, and always will be. You sent Jesus to die on a cross for us, and that gift that no one can give except for you is still available to every one of us every day. And so today we're going to talk a lot about your son. We're going to talk a lot about Jesus. And I just pray that we would just realize who he is in our lives and what he means to us, and then where our lives would be headed so we can just follow you. And we can give you all the credit for that and not take it for ourselves. In your beautiful name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so we are in 1 Corinthians 12, if you're looking on your phone or your Bible or however you look at that. And we're going to start here, 1 Corinthians 12, 1. And this is what it says. It says, with regards to spiritual gifts, okay? And there's a lot of translations, and this can come into spiritual. So Paul's going, listen, there's a lot of things that the Holy Spirit, when Jesus died and released, that we can use. And so I want to tell you about some of these things that the Holy Spirit does when you ask Jesus in your life, okay? He says, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were often led astray by speechless idols, however you were led. So I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit. So when you ask Jesus in your heart, right, when you ask him into your life, when he starts leading you, there's this crazy awesome power called the Holy Spirit that's unleashed in your life and unleashed in the life of Christians that surround you. And what happens is when that comes in, there are things that happen that sometimes we can't explain, right? And that's really cool because when you can't take the credit and you can't explain it, there's only one other person that can. Now, 4, there were different gifts, but the same Spirit. So we have the same Spirit, but he gives everybody these different gifts, okay? And there are different ministries, but the same Lord. One church, right? We go to different places, but we got one God and he loves us all the same. And there are different results, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each, I'm an each, right? You're an each. You're an each. Look to the side. He's an each. She's an each. Everybody's an each, right? We all have an each. He's talking to every one of us, each and individually, okay? The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the benefit of all. So here's what's interesting is he's saying, I'm giving you something, but this isn't just for you. This is for probably a lot of other people. In other words, when you come into a place and you think it's all about me, it probably is the opposite because God's probably given something to you to give to somebody else and somebody else to give to somebody else, and it's called a community. That's why we have groups and we get together, because it's when you bring these people together that God things happen, okay? So 8, for one person is given the Spirit and the message of wisdom, and another the message of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another performance of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirits, to another kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Someone's speaking, someone's interpreting, they're working together, they have all these gifts and they're using them, and they're coming from the same Spirit, okay? 11, it is one and the same Spirit distributing as he decides to each person. God decides when he wants to give it and how he wants to give it and who he wants to give it to, and his timing is always perfect, without flaw. who produces all these things. 12, for as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body through many are one, many members, one body, working together. Okay? So too is Christ, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, we were all made to drink of that one spirit. Okay? So we got a lot of Bible. What's going on? So, Jesus, when he came, it said he took away all his godness, okay? He came as a human, okay? He lived a human life. He suffered like we do. He had the same temptations we did, but he did crazy miracles, okay? The Holy Spirit was all over Jesus, but it was completely not by his godness. It was completely from God manifesting his spirit through him as a person into the world, okay? So as a person, if I first look at that, that's kind of intimidating because I'm like, I'm not a Jesus, right? My father isn't God, like, so to speak. Like, I was born by George and Linda Whitney, my mom and dad. They're here today. Like, I didn't have this you know, virgin birth. Like, but what Luke is going to say, and he says it in Luke and Acts, is he's like, listen, Jesus did all this through the Spirit. Like, and this is available to you. My question is, do you believe it? Do you really believe that Jesus broke this thing and the Spirit came down? Because it's available to you, but where are you at, all right? Jesus says in John 14:12, he says, I tell you the truth, that anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I am going to the Father, all right? So when Jesus says, I'm going to the Father, when he dies on the cross for all of us, the Holy Spirit just breaks out, okay? And it can come to anybody at any time, anywhere, when you're a believer in Jesus, okay? He's the power and he's the source that gave us that, all right? And he says greater works. All right, so Jesus is saying, you're gonna do greater works than me, right? Now let me ask you a question. How many people have fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish? How many people have walked on water? How many people have raised from the dead? How many people, okay, somebody's raised from the dead. We got somebody, that's what I'm talking about, all right? So you're close, you're on there, right? How many people have intimate knowledge with God and they speak and people write scripture of anything you've said and it's carried on for thousands of years, right? Not me, right? But what he's saying is, when I died on the cross, my spirit, the Holy Spirit, God sent us the Holy Spirit and it was released. And even though Jesus had every single available gift, as a community, when we get together as individuals, right, as a diverse group, when the Holy Spirit comes into us, it's going to manifest, it's going to come out in different ways. And the 300 people, or whatever the number is in this place, are so much more powerful because we take this diverse spirit that speaks to us and gave us all these life experiences and did these things in our lives. And when we come together, we are actually able to do greater things than if it was just Jesus by himself. And that's really cool. Because if you bring that into a community, right, there are greater things that can and will happen according to God's word. All right? So let me ask you this then. If we know these things can happen, what was Jesus doing? Like, what was his mission? What was he trying to do with these gifts? He was doing a couple things, all right? He was using his gifts in the Spirit to glorify God in the world, to bless it and to heal it, all right, to save sinners and to build up his church, okay? So he says, make disciples, right? He's building up his church. He's always pointing back to the Father, right? He calls him Abba. He calls out on the cross. Levi calls him Daddy, right? It was an intimate relationship, and he's always pointing back, God, 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 this is what's happening. This is who's giving me this. It's available to you. You just got to know where it's coming from, okay? So the first point I want to make is, in 7, verse 7, he said, to each is given, okay? So to every person in here, God, if you believe in Jesus, okay, and you're letting the Holy Spirit work in your life, he's giving you something, all right? So you definitely, 100%, without a question, you got something. I don't know what it is, but you got something, all right? All right? Number two, all right? The gifts you were given are for the common good of the church, okay? And the common good of the church doesn't stop at these doors, and it doesn't start on Sunday and end after church. It's the entire time we're here, and it's any time we talk to other Christians, and it's any time we're going on a mission trip, and it never stops, okay? So when Paul's addressing the Corinthians, he's saying this. He's going, you guys have amazing gifts. And you guys are superstars, right? I mean, you're going out and you're healing people and all these things are happening. There's miracles happening. But the problem is you're acting like you're the superstar and you're acting like it's from you and you're acting like it's your power when it never had anything to do with you. You're taking all this credit for something you never did. Okay? So you got someone walking out and he's like, I got the gift of tongues, you know, and someone's like, I got the gift of speaking and I got the gift of evangelism. And they talk to this other guy in the church and like, what's your gift? And he's like, administration. And they're like, whatever, you know, like administration, hang out with those guys, right? They're getting this hierarchy of like, oh, I'm gifted, right? Wrong. There's no hierarchy. The whole thing's a body. We all have gifts and they all communicate for one purpose, and that's for the common good of the church. Okay? So Paul's going to tell him, listen, if you guys keep acting like this, I'm just going to be upfront with you, okay? He's going to kind of punch him in the face. Not only are you unbelievably immature, but you don't even understand the nature of the gospel or the truth of what gifts are given for, okay? See, when God gave us gifts, when Jesus died, okay, that was the greatest gift we could have received, okay? Period. Broke death on its back, okay? So when I start taking credit for something Jesus did, and because he did that, it allows me to live the way I live, I'm completely in the wrong. Like, I can't just go, you know, you walk around and you go like, man, I bet God's glad I'm on his team, right? Look what I can do, God. Woo, helping tons of people, raising kids, helping out, doing these things, going on mission trips, right? And God's going, Chris, by the way, I sent my son to a cross for you. I paid the ultimate sacrifice for your life. And you think that makes me happy because you're on my team? You got it wrong, Chris. It wasn't about you. It was about what I'm allowing the Spirit to do in your life to point back to something that's going to save somebody else. Fallen human nature searches for something about itself that's unique, okay? We boast, we set ourselves apart, right? I'm prettier, right? Not me, right? Maybe somebody else, right? I'm healthier, I have more money, like I have more of these things, I have a better business sense. We're always looking for something to set ourselves apart in a hierarchy. And that's just human nature. That's something we have to fight against, okay? And you can use your spiritual gifts to that same end, right? It's that same thing, right? Oh, he's got this gift. Well, I got this gift. Okay, cool. You know, this is where I'm at with God. Not how it works at all, right? The only thing God says we should be able to boast in, to brag about, is the fact that Jesus came to earth and he died for our sins and his grace saves us, okay? And there's an example of this. Like in Luke 10, Jesus sends out all the disciples, right? So the disciples are coming back, and they're just pumped. They're juiced. I love the word juiced, right? They're excited. They're stoked. They've done all these awesome things, like they perform miracles. They cast out demons. It was everything they probably could have ever imagined, right? They're on this high. And so you got all these guys coming back, right, to the area. And guys like, yeah, man, what'd you do? I cast out 2 demons. The other guy's like, cast out 7 demons, right? And the other guy's like, what? Man, I tried to raise someone from the dead, right? And he's got the guys telling the stories, right? And they're sitting around Jesus, and Jesus is hearing this. He's like, listen, these are the guys I taught. I was walking with them, and they're talking like this, right? And Jesus says this. He says, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written down in the Lamb's book of life, okay? He's telling them, whether your gifts are spiritual or natural, you can't base your identity in that, right? If you start basing your identity in anything else other than the foundation of Jesus, we start going astray, just like the guys that walked with Jesus the entire time, okay? And the problem is when we start doing this, then we get into pride and we get into our own righteousness. We get into our selfishness. And when we start doing this, it creates division. Every time. And again, Jesus' point was to bring us together as a body of believers to one God who sent his son. All right, now, just talking about this is easy, but everybody's heart's fallen, okay? We don't have to pretend that's not happening. We all have troubles, all right? I have a friend who's a pastor who tells the story that he said, you know, he's very well known, and he's very gifted, okay? Like, I would say one of the top people that I'm able to listen to. And he said sometimes, you know, after service, he's had someone come out and just say, like, you know, I love what you said today. You are a truly great preacher, right? And he goes, well, thank you. I'll take that. That's a gift to me, and I appreciate that. And he said he'll get home, and he'll just have a good day, and he'll be sitting there with his wife, and he'll say, you know, honey, how many truly great preachers do you think there are out there? And she'll go, well, probably one less than you're thinking right now, right? And he'll go, ah. Right? It happens to everybody. There's no exception. God's not looking down, regardless of where you're at, and saying, I'm glad that's you, man. Good job. Thank you. He's just going, come on, guys, just live for me. Okay? The gifts of grace are given for the common good, okay? Not for your own personal benefit, and certainly not for you to boast about. Our boast, again, should just be in the saving grace of Jesus. All right? Down in verse 12, let me skip down just for a second. Paul's going to use the analogy of the body, okay? If the eye decides that it's more important than the foot, you could see how it would think that, pun intended, the eye seeing, okay? Whatever. There's a problem, all right? It's a body. So this is really cool. One of God's agendas in our lives is to go to war, and I use that word very strongly, war against our own sense of self-sufficiency. So what he's going to do is he's going to communicate part of himself in the diversity of his community to one person. And then what he's going to do is, because of your life experiences and your past and your present and the way you think and the way you're created, is he's going to communicate another piece of himself to somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. And then we bring all these pieces together, and we get the full picture of what God really is and what he does, okay? C.S. Lewis, he's one of my favorite authors, has an example of this in his book, The Four Loves, okay? And C.S. Lewis used to get together on a regular basis with two other very well-known authors, and their names were George and Ronald, okay? And so he said they'd laugh, and they'd cry, and they'd share life, and they were just real. It was a real friendship, right? There wasn't a jealousy, like it was just there. And he said, so one day, Charles died, okay? And they mourned the death of their best friend for years. And what C.S. Lewis says is, he said, what was weird was, after we mourned, in the back of my mind, I thought, now I'll have more of Ronald, right? There's only two of us, not three. Now it'll be just me and him, and we'll have more times to laugh, and we'll have more times to cry, and we'll have more time just to be intimate together. But what he says is, what I realized is, after Charles' death, I didn't have more, I had less. Because there were only things in Ronald's life that Charles could bring out. And when Charles died, I lost every piece of that in Ronald's life. And if you're married, or you have kids, or you have family, this will hit you in the heart. Like, I've talked to multiple people that'll come up and say, I'm thinking about having a baby, or you know, I have this problem, whatever. And I just say, listen, until we had kids, there were things in me that never came out, okay? But when you bring that little boy or that little girl, or they come together in front of you, I'm telling you, something happens. There's situations when I walk into my family room with my wife and my four kids, and they're just piling all over each other wrestling, and you just watch it, and you go, that could only happen if these people were here. If you took one kid away, it would not be like that. It wouldn't happen. And it's the same thing in the church. God brings us all together
for a purpose. And when we come together in groups and community, in the food truck event we're going to have, in the Iron Sharpens Iron men's event, in the weeks that we have groups, when we come together, these things happen, and there's moments that come out that will only happen when these people come together, okay? And if you're like me, there's always been times when I was like, I just really don't want to do this thing tonight, right? I don't want to go this place, or it's really inconvenient, or I'm tired, or I'm stressed, or whatever. And I feel like it's always in those times that something crazy awesome happens. And I leave and I go, I knew I was supposed to go there, okay? I know I was supposed to talk to this person. I know I was supposed to be with these people, all right? There's no superstars. There's no Lone Ranger spirituality, okay? Another part to this is God has distributed the primary portion of his power in the world by means of gifts, of spiritual gifts he's given to the church, okay? So what happens is if you say, I'm going to be an individual, okay? I'm not going to go to church. I think I can just worship God on my own. I think I can do this on my own. You're missing out. Because the primary portion was given to the church. So when you're asking God to work in your life without being intimately connected to a local church, what you're asking him for is his power while you're disconnecting yourself from his power. Does that make sense? So God, I want all your power. I want all your help. I want you to help me in my marriage. I want you to help me in my family. I want you to help me in my business. But I don't want your church. You can't disconnect that. Do you see what you're doing when you do that? You can't do it if you're asking God for it. But as a type A personality, it's super easy to get caught up in being overcommitted, right? Right? I want to help at everything. I got to do stuff. What if I could just not sleep, right? I could do so much more, right? Right? And there's really good things in the church you could do, right? Evangelism, mission, the poor, adoption, men's ministry, financial education, right? I could get involved in racial matters and try to help discrimination. I can get involved in politics, right? All good things. I can't do all these things. Personally, I cannot do all these things. But there's people in the body that can, right? And so when we come together, we all have our individual gifts. And that's what sleep is for. That's why God doesn't sleep. And I get a couple hours every once in a while. I would love, right? Love to get more. I wish I could. I don't have the gift of sleep, but he does give me sleep, right? But God says, you're not God and I am. So I made this thing called sleep, and you need to do it. And while you're doing it, actually, I'm going to speak to you every once in a while. So why don't you just clear your mind and listen. And listen. I didn't put this in here, but I thought... When our kids were really small, okay, and I thought about this. I had this thing where I'd wake up at like 3 a.m. all the time, okay, and I would just I feel like I'd write or I'd journal or I'd read or whatever I do. And so a lot of times I'd go in and I'd pray with my kids, okay, and they'd be sleeping. They don't know what's going on. They're just limp and whatever. But I was thinking about it and I was just and so I'd be like, you don't know how beautiful you are to me. Like you don't know how special you are. Like, you don't know your purpose. Like, you don't know, like, how big of a plan God's had in your life. And they couldn't hear it, right? They were sleeping. They were out. They were drooling on me, right? But I was saying it to them. And I know in my heart that God does this to us all the time as his children, right? We're just sitting there and we're so distracted. And maybe it's when we sleep that he's going, just listen. Just hear me. Do you know who you are? Do you know who I am? Do you know what you mean to me? Do you know the gifts I gave you? Do you know your life's purpose? Because I do. So just come to me. The more time and energy we begin to use with our spiritual gifts, the more our life explodes with purpose. We war for our Father instead of against ourselves. And the more our life does not look the same. There's another story of a team that met together and went to a mega church, okay? And they had a amazing production. And this team, when they came back, one of the members just had a really, I thought, insightful thing he said. And it said that we went to this church, and again, I'm not getting anything against mega churches, okay? We're all in the same body, all right? And he said they had just everything was perfect. They had the greatest brochure, and the lights came on at the right time, and the band was amazing, and the lights flashed at just the right time. Everybody left, and the speaker came out, and there's like fireworks coming out of his mouth, and like everybody's happy, and it's very engaging, and it's very, you know, hilarious, and he gets done with the message, and he walks off, and then the band comes up, and everybody plays, and then everybody goes home, okay? And what he said was this. He said, if that worship service, if not one person had walked into the room in that worship service, I wonder if it would have just went exactly the same. And for that matter, I wonder if God wasn't there, if it would have went exactly the same. And so my question is this. Would the way you live your life still look the same if no one else is personally in your life? Would the way your life look still matter, still be lived the same way if there was no God? If you took God out, would your life look the same? If you took God out of the Monday through Saturday or Sunday or whatever it was, would your relationships still look the same? You see, it's easy to run away from purpose. It's easy to hide your gifts. It's easy to say, that sounds like a good idea. It's easy to say that is or was for me or someone else to deal with. It's easy to walk away from the pain. It's easy to see someone else in need when you know you need to help them. But instead of doing something, we instead take the easy way and we do nothing. It's easy to ignore our God-given gifts. It's easy to ignore our gifts in the world that tells us we are just another number. It's easy to ignore our gifts in the world that says we are just another statistic. But when we finally decide to come clean, when we finally decide that the life we are living was given to a capacity that was meant to create, when we finally decide that the God had it right and that every beginning, even when we try to want to run away, when we finally decide that the gifts we have known for so long were given, will finally be used for an infinite purpose instead of hiding in the finite. When we finally decide that Jesus came to earth, broke death over his back on the cross, and set us free to live a life not only on purpose, but with purpose for him, for his gifts that he unleashed with the power of the Holy Spirit, when he died on the cross, when we finally decide that this all happened for a reason, my life should never look the same. I was just kind of reflecting on this, and that's what came to me. I was like, Chris, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? The joy of being a Christian shouldn't come from coming to church and consuming spiritual nuggets like we're going to McDonald's. The joy of being a Christian should come from us having an expectant heart during the week of trying to pray and say, God, listen, I know you've got somebody for me to help. Who is it? What is it? Give me a word. Let me help somebody else, right? Like, what if we all came to church expecting to help somebody else and not just sit in a chair and expect to be fed? What if we all came to church as a community and worked together? What would it look like? Because that's what Paul's saying to the Corinthians. He's saying, guys, you're not looking like you should look, okay? My last point is going to be this. There's no exhausted list in the Bible of gifts, okay? A gift is when God uses you to help his church in whatever way he feels like doing. And I can't put that in a box, and I can't define that, and I can't make a list of that because it's an infinite amount of ways, and I'm not God. And I will never understand God. But I sure as heck am trying to read his word and see how I can fit in it, okay? And so it's this. Right after this chapter, chapter 12, in 13 is Paul's letter of love, okay? And a lot of times, if you're reading the Bible, you're going to go from these gifts to 13, which is love, and 14 kind of starts talking about gifts again. And you're going to say, why in the world did Paul write this love letter in the middle of all the gifts? Like, what was the point? Because at the end of 12, he's going to say, but the greatest gift is something else. He's going to point us somewhere, okay? And this is what I believe. I think there are many people who are very effective on the outside, but on the inside are joyless. They get jealous, they get loveless, and they're discontent. And that's why Paul never confuses spiritual gifts with spiritual fruit. When Paul gets into the love, into chapter 13, he's saying, don't confuse love with a gift and fruit. Because when you use your gifts, love is the fruit. That's what's going to come out. When your love grows, you're going to know it. It's going to be contagious, and you're not going to be able to say it was something else other than God. Not from a spiritual gift, but from that seeing that the greatest gift ever given by God was God's Son. Torn apart for your sin, and through this, we are seeing that Jesus took all of his spiritual gifts and laid them down on the cross for us. If I can get Levi and the guys that come up here, I'm going to go ahead and pray. God, when you wrote these words, I believe you wrote them for every single person in this room. And I believe Jesus is the way. I believe that he set a perfect life, that everything he represents is holy and pure and perfect. And I truly believe that when we hear your word, if we would just listen and we would take it to heart and we would use the gifts, that instead of thinking for ourselves, or instead of trying to be selfish, or instead of maybe just being lazy, we would actually take these gifts you've given us through the Holy Spirit, and we would take them seriously, and we would especially use them as a community to bring people to love God and to make disciples and to build the church and to give you all the credit. And we love you and thank you for this day. In Jesus' beautiful name we pray. Amen.